Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Thursday.
It is a good Thursday.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing.
What's going on, guys? Yeah. How's everybody doing today? You guys good?
I don't know. Today was a weird day.
Why?
Well, the morning was, last night was weird, and then ended today, and then...
Why? What happened to you?
The pulse of people. It's back, but it's not back, and it's...
Are you talking about the Pac-12?
Well, it's the Pac-6, man. Six-pack.
Yeah, all right.
That was weird. Didn't see that one coming. That was like a blazer, weird press release, middle of the night. Like, kind of broke. It was that Yahoo had it last night about like 10:30, something like that.
Came out of nowhere, didn't
it? Yeah, I was like, whoa.
I kind of like that about realignment.
Yeah, just...
You don't see anything coming, and then it just, bam!
And like, away we go!
Amazing.
So there was that. I saw a phenomenal roid rage incident today, unless it turns out that, like, in the news that there was a shooting or anything. I saw a roid rage... Road. But I was coming from the gym, so maybe it was roid rage. I saw an old Dodge Caravan ram into the back of a Honda CRV because they got pissed at him.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Rammed?
Dude, it was intense. I was leaving the gym. I was eating a buddy of mine for lunch. Oh. And, like, all of a sudden, the horn, just the like a nonstop, like, 20-second horn, it scared the living you know what out of me. I thought it was me. And so I'm, like, looking around. I was like, what? Because I had just changed lanes. And I was like, what did I cut someone off? Because instantly I'm like, all right, what did I do now? I don't want to be doing that either.
What have I done?
Yeah, I was like, my bad. Like, and then, and I looked, it wasn't. It was the one kind of right behind me to the right. There was, like, this beat-up old minivan, and they were just laying on the horn. And I don't know what the Honda did to elicit it. I'm assuming cut them off or something. But my man went on for about 40 seconds of just, one.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Know that guy.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then we get to the light, and they're right behind each other, and it starts again. I was like, holy crap.
So wait, he's still behind him?
Still behind him.
So, and he's honking. He's still laying on the horn.
I'm in line with the little Honda. The beat-up minivan is behind us.
Okay.
And I'm one lane over. So he goes for about 40 seconds and then stops, and I'm kind of thinking it's over. But then we get to the light, and he starts again. And so my man in the Honda starts taking off, and of course, you know what he does. He brake checks.
Oh,
I was like, ooh, that's not, that's not going to go well. And so then it just starts again. And so my man's brake checking, he's honking. The minivan cuts me off. It swerves in between me and the car because he wants to get side by side.
Oh, he wants to see him.
He wants to see him to give that guy the, so I'm like, holy crap.
Aren't you out of there, like, are you trying to get a...
I was kind of like, oh, maybe... Yeah, I was like, there's nothing good.
Turn here.
Like, nothing good can come from this. Although, the Mongolian Grill was right up the road, so, you know, it's heading to the grill.
Oh, so you had to get to your lunch destination. Well, like, yeah, there's no way you could pull off and just let them shoot each other.
I guess I could have pulled over. There was a KFC right there.
I love that it's like, I'm not going to get involved, but Mongolian Grill's right there, so I'm staying right here.
Hey, I've been looking forward to this Mongolian Grill all day long. So my man just darts in front of me, so now I just back way off. I'm like, we're going way back. I want nothing to do with this. And so they keep kind of doing this whole speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. I see middle fingers going, and they approach the light, and the Honda guy goes to turn, and the Dodge dude just turns right into him and just drills him right from behind.
So he goes to turn left or right?
Turn right. And the Dodge, there is no way that was not on purpose. He turned right into him, and it wasn't like a brake check. The guy was just turning, and my man just, bam!
But wait.
Slammed him from behind.
In my head... They're like this. Okay, see my
hand. No. The Dodge had pulled behind.
Okay, so the Dodge is back behind
him. Dodge is back behind
him. This homie turns right.
And my man goes to do like a pit maneuver on him, like you're trying to spin him out.
Smashes the passenger side?
Would have been the quarter panel, like, as he was turning. So it would have been...
The back?
Yeah, it would have been the back corner as he was turning. Yeah.
Was there anybody in the passenger seat?
Not that I saw. And so at that point, I just went through the light and was like, holy crap.
And then they stop and get out and fight?
Don't know. I just kept going.
We need an ending to this.
I thought about it, man, but I was like, my man in the minivan, like I never really got a good look at the person in the little SUV.
You said this is Vancouver?
No, it's over in Portland. Okay. My man in the minivan was the anger on his face. Holy cow. I mean, it was palpable. As he was laying on that horn, you could just see his face screaming bright red. And here's the other one. When you see that minivan, don't mess with that minivan because that dude doesn't care. That guy's got nothing to lose. He's driving around in that thing. Nothing.
I don't see anything on in the news here.
Well, thank heavens.
Or I mean in the news.
I just was like, that was one of those where I could see someone getting out and full on violence erupting. Hopefully the person in the Honda realized that once they got hit, don't stop. That's when you just call the police and you just keep going. You do not get out and confront that guy.
Well, I'm a little disappointed in my roving news reporter here.
Dude, you're gonna get out and see what's happening there?
I'm not gonna get out.
No, I'm not doing anything, man.
But
No, I'm right through that light and I'm out.
I'm watching.
Well, and
maybe
again,
pulling out my AK.
Yeah, no. All I thought about was, like, literally when I got to my destination or whatever, I was like, what if, like, that is the sort of thing where someone gets shot over. All because, I don't even know, someone cut someone off or someone entered traffic. Well, I mean, look, that's not the best part of town, but my gosh, everyone, lighten up.
Yeah, we live on a busy street, and I've told you before, but it's Thunderdome out there.
Yeah.
Oftentimes you will hear, and it's not every day, but a couple times a week, you will hear the one person who cannot, something happened. Maybe somebody didn't stop or whatever, because it's like a five-way stop right there. They can't let it go.
No.
And they will lay on the horn, and you will hear the horn all the way up the street, or they'll roll down their window and yell awful thing. I've heard awful thing. Yeah. People, I mean, they say the worst things when they... I mean, I think some of these people, like this guy in the van, they just can't control themselves. Like, they're so off. They're it's visceral, right? They're just unhinged. Yeah.
This went for probably almost 2 miles. Cause, like, it's from the gym to the Mongolian Grill. And someone's asking, do you go to Chang's on 122nd? Damn right. It's the best Mongolian
Grill. Is that where we were?
That's where we were at.
Chang's.
So, like, it's like a 2 mile stretch, it's just one straight shot. Right there from where I work out down to that. And it's just, you know, and so that thing went for, you know, of that 2+ mile road, that thing went for like 1.5 miles. And you would think one of them would have turned off. One of them would have backed off. No, they were not letting this thing go. It was mutual. I mean, the one dude was brake checking and I mean, both, they had a chance to end that thing so many different times. And they were like, nah, we ain't having this. It was something else.
It was
Frank Yes.
What?
Was it you?
Was it me?
Yeah.
No, I don't own a minivan.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure. If I was driving a Dodge Caravan, yeah, I think I would know. I think I'd be aware.
Well, I had to ask.
I think I'd be aware of that.
I have to ask the important questions.
Yeah. But the important part of the story, the Mongolian Grill was delightful.
Chang's?
Yeah. It was great. Okay. Had some lamb.
I'll take your word for it.
A little sweet and spicy going on.
Is that where they cook it up right there at the table?
No, you said you take it up to the big grill. That's like a Benihana's at the table.
Oh.
This is like a communal
but
grill.
But it's all raw, right? And
yeah.
And they cook it right there?
They cook it right there in front of you. You got your noodles, you got your veggies, throw some meat, some sauces on there.
You know, real ballers eat it raw.
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's what Shannon Sharp would do.
I don't think you should eat raw chicken. That's not good. Or pork.
We have new Shannon Sharp audio, not the audio from his live stream.
What happened?
He went on Chad Ochocinco's show to basically say, okay, fine, I wasn't hacked.
Can you update me on where he is in the sports media landscape? Because I've lost.
Ochocinco?
No.
Shannon Sharp.
Well,
I think he does his own Club Shay Shay. He has his own podcast that's pretty popular.
He was with, Skip Bayless?
And
he
left Skip Bayless.
That's
pretty
gone.
Sure he's back at ESPN.
Is he?
Oh, is he? Okay.
I think so.
What show is he on?
Do you have First Take with Stephen A?
I think he bounces around, but I think he's back with Stephen A. Smith.
Oh.
So okay. I'm fairly certain he's back at ESPN.
I can't keep track of all those bros.
Yeah, this is right here. Shannon Sharp will not face discipline from ESPN over sex stream.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I mean, for God's sake.
Honest mistake. Who cares? Why do we pearl clutch so much about
he's doing it? He's back on First Take with Screaming.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then Skip is no longer then? Is he gone?
He was doing it on his own with some, without Shannon Sharp, but I think they either blew him out or they're not renewing his contract. So he's going to be a free agent as well.
Good.
Yeah.
So what is Sharp saying now?
It was me being a healthy, active male. I mean, y'all thought I was bull jiving. Hey, I'll get it in. Real talk. Hey, yo.
Whoa. That's it?
That's it. Hey. Real talk.
Yeah, guy was out there getting it done.
Y'all thought I was bull jiving.
Well, I'm going to get it in.
I mean, what do you want? I mean...
Yeah, well, that's what I said yesterday. I'm like, why are you saying that you're hacked? I don't know. Is anybody really?
He didn't say he was hacked.
He did say that's what Buckley said.
That was the first thing he said. A screenshot on his Instagram that said he was. No,
he said that I'm on top of this.
You are.
Know about my Shannon Sharp dong.
He blamed it on a staffer. He said a staffer put up an apology for him.
He said he's got a staff member that handles some of most of those people have a publicist or someone. And he said immediately the publicist tried to get out in front of it. And he said, no, we're not doing that. This was, the honest truth. So he said the hack thing was a publicist throwing it out there. And he was like, nah,
he threw that out at first.
The publicist did, according to him. And then he's like, no, I did it. And he goes, I didn't realize, what was happening. Yeah. And, no harm.
Honest mistake.
All you heard was, like you said, you just heard some grunts. You heard a man doing some rutting. That's all.
He was getting it in.
He was getting it in, man.
I'll get it in.
Oh, man. I love sports. For these reasons, Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, again, does this hurt his brand? Far from it.
Like I said, I just don't think anybody was offended. It's one of those funny things, and you see it on social media, and you spend 20 seconds on it, and you move on with your day.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't affect anyone.
No.
Calm down.
Calm down.
All of you.
Go home and watch Kids Bop.
That's right.
Well, we can't admit that. Did we not think that Shannon Sharp was out there getting it in? Look at him.
Right.
I know from being around him for the better part of a year. Trust me, 20 plus years ago, he was still out there getting it in, and he's doing it now.
Well,
they can't hear me because they're listening to Kids Bop.
He was, how would I say, he was very popular with females in the Denver area, and I think he still probably is.
Not married, I'm told.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He had
because that would be bad.
Yeah. He had a...
unless it was his wife.
Yeah.
But it didn't really sound like his wife.
When we were in...
wives don't sound like that.
Well, maybe his does. He had a blonde
wives
gal.
Wives don't sound like that.
I liked that one. I'm sorry. I thought that was good.
He had a blonde gal that would show up and pick him up sometimes in his car in Denver from like the buses and stuff. And boy,
it was good for him.
Oh, it's good from like 59 out, man. It was impressive.
All right, so guys
and gals,
I think you were alluding to this at the start of the program.
Yeah,
the Pac-12 has expanded.
Yes,
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's weird because it went from the 12 to the 2 and now to the 6, but now there's going to be more coming. So
yeah, this is exciting. Came out of nowhere. Let's talk about it. It's the subject of our poll question. Now, here's the thing. We're a real sports show today. We got to stay on task.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Kyle Bonagura, ESPN, 15 minutes, right? Is that right, Buckley?
That's correct, 3:30.
3:30. He wrote an article. He covers college football. He wrote an article on this whole Pac-12 thing. So we'll get into our questions about that at 3:30. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach at 4, and Brett McMurphy from Action Network at 5:15.
Action packed.
Are you
Action
kidding?
Packed.
What is
Look
happening?
At Buckley over there getting stuff done.
True story.
Yeah, on occasion I do something over here.
Yeah.
On occasion.
Now you've set the bar awful high, Buckley.
Why don't you take tomorrow
everybody
off.
Pop the brakes.
All right. We'll be right back with the poll question and talk about the Pac-6 on the Fan. All right, nice to have you along. Coming up in 10 minutes, ESPN's Kyle Bonagura will join us. We'll get all the deets about the Pac-12 adding 4 Mountain West schools today. They have added Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State.
Yeah, and don't try to tell someone that's the Mountain West, because then Beaver and Coug fan get very, very angry about that. It's the best of the Mountain West. Get it right.
So those 4... get added to Oregon State and Washington State. And Scott Barnes said today they want to try to maybe get to 9.
Yeah.
Because that would allow them to have an 8-game conference schedule. Everybody plays everybody.
Yep.
And you have 4 non-cons.
Yep.
And, yeah, so we'll see what they do next. But that leads us to our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday was, should Oregon and Oregon State continue to play the Civil War rivalry game? 82% said, of course they should.
There you go.
So we're coming around on that.
I like it.
That was more 50-50 earlier in the year when people were all butthurt and stuff still. 82% said, yeah, but of course, Oregon State should not, 9%. And then 4% said Oregon should not, and then 5% said neither should.
Yeah. Well, it was a big chunk of money. I mean, some people are asking, you know, why only those four? Well, it's pretty expensive. It's like $110, $111 million to go get those. Again, maybe you want to see how this plays out, but they're really outside of Cal and Stanford. There's really no other schools that are big fish. And I don't even know if Cal and Stanford are big fish, and I don't think they would ever come back to this from an academic standpoint. But outside of that, there's really no one else. I mean, you're talking about the either the rest of the Mountain West, like a UNLV. You're talking about Tulane. If you wanted to go down, I guess you could throw out like a North Dakota State, Memphis.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. How'd you get that? How'd you get to there?
What do you mean?
Well, we were just talking about yesterday's poll question.
Oh, I just was talking about the Pac-12 in general, expansion of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I missed something. Okay, so here's today's poll question. Where should the Pac-12 turn next? North Texas and UTSA.
Yeah, well, this is where I was going with that.
You already saw the question.
Yes.
That's what it was. Okay, so I hadn't teed that up yet. I was confused. I'm like, wait a minute.
Sorry, I think I jumped the gun on
you. You sure did, Phil. You're excited.
Question.
You know you are? You're an excited sports guy.
I saw the poll,
man. Big boy.
He's firing away.
You see the poll, and you're like, oh, let's...
So Texas... you know, Texas schools, I think there's a lot of value in going into Texas. And then another one is Memphis and Tulane.
Yeah.
They're from the AAC. Then you have UNLV Air Force. That's one answer. They're, well, we all know they're Mountain West. Mm-hmm. And then North Dakota State, Wyoming is the last one. Just because, you know,
I
kind of needed to complete the poll. I didn't want to put Cal and Stanford on there. Because one, they'll win, and two, it doesn't sound like they're going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, they got the grant of rights from the ACC. I guess in theory, if the ACC absolutely crumbled and it was a free-for-all, you know, but Cal and Stanford, I think, is the definite, it's what I was saying, it was the kind of a definition of a long shot. Cal and Stanford have been very anti-dealing with, no offense to the Boise States of the world and the Fresno States, but from an academic standpoint, I don't think Cal and Stanford would come back. But in realignment, you never say never. And outside of that, you're just backfilling with the best of the other conferences. So, this clearly, when you kind of read through all what happened, the Big 12 thing never materialized. They flirted with the ACC, but, you know, it came down to crunch time here and you made the best of a bad situation. But make no mistake about it, you're just a better version of the Mountain West. You know, and I know the optimism is abound about a new TV deal, but remember the Mountain West TV deal is like $4 to $6 million. And that's for the Boise States of the world. Like some of the other ones, it's like $3 million. So when you look at some of the valuations on a new Pac-12, you're talking about like $8 to $12 million. And I think that's being pretty generous if you get to 12, split the difference and say like 10. So it's better than just the Mountain West, but you know, in no way does this put you back on a real meaningful platform, other than in 2 years when you get to 8+ teams, you will have a chance to be a group of five and a chance to get an automatic berth to the college football playoff for being the highest ranked champion from the group of five. So
I think you're going to call it the group of six.
The group of six, yeah. So, you know, that's...
And that's good.
That's good.
That's a path. You have a pathway.
So, okay. Look, this is not a great day. And I think some people were last night, were all excited that like, oh, the Pac-12 is back. I think that's a really, really strong, optimistic way of viewing this.
I mean, it's not going to die.
No.
I think is what they're saying. And
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
But it's
Pac-12 After Dark remains.
But it's interesting in that when this first came up, and this I just asked, I wasn't trolling anyone. I literally asked the question today, and I got so many responses, and I was just interested to see what fans thought. I put it out on Twitter. I said, you know, when this first came to the idea of a Mountain West merger, I mean, it was 100% Coogan Beaver fan. I want nothing to do with that. Like, that's a death sentence. But essentially, you just merged with the Mountain West Light.
Yeah, I don't think Beav and Coug fan feels that great today.
And yet, there is a lot of optimism from a lot of them.
Oh,
and that's why I was a little surprised. But to me, it really, when I looked at the responses, because last night I thought it was a very, very positive reaction. Like, yeah, we're back, Pac-12. It's not going anywhere. And then I think as the reality of it set in, it was like, ah. And so I think fan bases are a little split, but again, at least you have a path forward. There is some optimism about what the future may hold. I mean, I think the pie in the sky one is the ACC crumbles and some sort of ACC, you know, Pac-12 merger, which again, I think that's a little foolish, but you know, again, in realignment, never say never. This is the best of a worst case situation because if the Big 12 or the ACC, if they thought there was any sort of realistic shot at that, they don't do this. And also remember, too, that the exit fees that they had to pay from their war chest, because they do have money, $111 million that the Pac-12 is, it sounds like they're going to foot most of that bill to get these Mountain West teams over, and a poaching fee from the Mountain West because they put that in there with the scheduling agreement. If you waited another year, that number actually doubled. It went up to, so this was kind of like a, with 2 years notice, I think whatever it was, $18 million per school. With a 1 year notice, it's like $36 million per school. So you kind of reached this weird deadline when you couldn't work something out and you didn't feel good about the long-term prospects of the Big 12 or the ACC. That's why I think you're seeing the people saying that this came together very quickly, where it was like, hey, you know, we got to make a decision here. And certainly there's no anything close to any sort of guarantee or even good feeling about what the Power Five may have to offer or the Power Four. And so you made the best of this and you kind of see where this goes from here.
All right, vote and vote hard. Where should the Pac-12 turn next? We'll ask that question to ESPN's Kyle Bonagura, who joins.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is next, but first, Buck with Sports Center. All right, Oregon coach Dan Lanning coming up at 4. Right now, let's bring in Kyle Bonagura, ESPN, because if you're just joining us, the Pac-2, Oregon State, Washington State, have added four schools today. San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Boise State. Here's Kyle. Hey, why was this the best move for the Pac-2 at this point, Kyle?
Yeah, so I think it was a process in determining, like, what the options were, right? And so I think the process was actually pretty straightforward. It's, you know, one, can you get a slot in the Big 12 first? That it became pretty clear that wasn't going to be possible, and you know, maybe you wait around for ACC implosion, and maybe that leads to something down the line that would require a lot of patience and no guarantees, right? And so moving beyond that, there's only so many options, right? The Mountain West obviously made a lot of sense just to be affiliated in some way. But I think, you know, ultimately the chance to rebuild the Pac-12, keep the branding, keep the infrastructure of Pac-12 Enterprises, the kind of the shell of the Pac-12 network to do game production on your own as a way to market the conference to streaming platforms was there's real value there. And then by moving over some top brands from the Mountain West, you create a conference that's stronger than if you were just to kind of, okay, we're just going to go join the Mountain West and be, you know, and just add to the 12 teams that they already had. So like, you're not going to get weighed down by the teams at the bottom of the Mountain West in like you would have been if you just had joined that conference. And so once they made the determination that like all the cost of doing this, the exit fees, it's $18 million per school, and the poaching penalty that they'll have to pay the Mountain West, which was drawn up in the scheduling agreement that they came to for this year, it's a lot of money. It's over $100 million just to get to 6. But look, you have to assume that they studied it and had conversations with media partners and trying to figure out what the value would be, and ultimately decided that long term that type of investment was going to be worth it.
So you bought the Mountain West, you just added leather seats and like a sunroof, basically.
It feels like I've been telling everyone this. It feels like promotion relegation in soccer, right? It's you're the bottom tier at a top tier conference, and now you're the top tier at a rung down the ladder, and then you're going to get rid of the bottom of that rung, and luckily you don't have to like add anyone to that from the bottom to backfill. But yeah, it's better than if they would have joined the Mountain West. It's not as good if they would have joined the Big 12, just in terms of like media value. But I actually think like lifestyle and cultural fit and like access to the college football playoff is a big part of this for fans. For me, this is a better experience actually for Oregon State and Washington State than if they had joined the Big 12, because then you're kind of where you were before, right? You're not at the top in terms of resources and ability to like consistently compete every year. You're certainly gonna have the years where you're competing for conference titles, but it's not gonna be like the regular expectation. Like in this version of the Pac-12, you know, Oregon State and Washington State can like genuinely expect to compete for conference titles every year, which sounds really good, right? If you're a fan of either school, like you have a chance to go from a rooting for a football team that is, you know, has the whole range of possibilities from bad to mediocre to good. Now, every year you kind of go in, at least with the starting the fall with the expectation to watch a good team.
This is Kyle Barnagura of ESPN. So it sounded like Scott Barnes said today they want to get to 9 so they can play an 8-game conference schedule, 4 non-con games. The Mountain West currently gets like $6 million a year in their media deal. What do you think if they get to 9, depending on who those other schools are, what do you think they could command for a media deal in this new Pac-12?
Yeah, so I've heard a lot of like numbers floated around, and like I guess like the disclaimer here is that like we'll see, but like Jeremiah Dickey, the AD at Boise State, I talked with him earlier today. I mentioned 10 is like, does 10 feel like the right starting point from what you've heard? And he said, yeah, like maybe 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that range, right? Depending on who they get, right? If you get, say you get Memphis and Tulane, you have a couple other big media markets, you know, maybe that's more beneficial than adding Utah State or Air Force or something, right? So I think there'll be some wiggle room at the back end based on who else joins the conference. But yeah, I think it'll be like roughly double of what the Mountain West distributes now is, I think, a fair expectation where things will start. And then, beyond that, it really is a wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know if people fully appreciate how little money there is in the group of five. Like the Mountain West pays out $4 million for the lower schools, and then Boise, because of and like some incentive bonuses, they make like 5 or 6. So it is shocking when you hear the numbers between the haves and the have nots.
Oh, absolutely. It's just a different tier of football. And it's one of the reasons I've been an advocate for a long time of like having a separate playoff for the group of five level teams. Like you have FCS playoffs, you have Division II playoffs, you have Division III playoffs, now you have a 12-team playoff for FBS, but still like 130 teams where like the caliber of athletic department in however you want to measure it is so different from the top to bottom. It feels like there's a real opportunity, like there should be like another tier in between. And there is like in terminology, group of five, power four now, I guess. But yeah, I think it's they're operating on completely different planes. I think at least now with 12, you have playoff access, and at least you can kind of hope to get a bid to the playoff. I still think it's like unreasonable for those level schools to like want to be like the champion at the end of the college football season, like if we're being real, right? So it just feels weird. Any like competitive structure where like you know at the start of the year like your odds of being the champion at the end are like not really like realistic is, for me, has always felt like a weird competitive structure.
Yeah, it's weird because when we talk to fans, like even though they know that, it's hard for them to go from, I don't think it's hard for the Boise States of the world, but I think it's hard for Washington State fan and Oregon State fan to accept that reality. I think that's, and maybe it's something you get used to, but I'm with you. I think the idea of being Boise State isn't that bad. I just think that's a hard bridge for some of those fans to cross, at least from what we hear.
No, that's right. And I mean, I went to Washington State, right? So like the identity in Pullman, it's very similar in Corvallis. I visited Corvallis a few weeks ago. Look, it's over 100 years where these small college towns have had this connection to this major college athletic conference, right? It's you have these two outliers, these college towns in a league of metropolitan universities, right? And so, yeah, it's a pride thing to a certain degree that, hey, like, we're a Pac-12 school, we're a Pac-10 school before that, right? Like, we compete at the highest level of collegiate athletics, and that's a source of pride, and it's cool, and it's good. It's fun to be able to have those big games, especially when your team's good and you're feeling nationally relevant. You're putting your town on the map in a way that's like really unique and fun. Like, that's going to be different in this league, right? But at the same time, I think, you know, you're winning 8, 9, 10 games every year. You're not having the spells where you go a decade of being irrelevant. Like, I don't know that. Like, I feel like it shouldn't be that hard to embrace it once it starts. Because, like, the alternative is just, like, you don't embrace it and you're not a fan anymore. And, like, okay, you're going to give up your fandom of your school or the team you're a fan of for whatever reason just because, like, you're no longer playing in the same league as USC. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like people are resilient enough to, like, understand that dynamics change, and it's still going to be a fun experience to go to Reese or go to Martin Stadium and watch these teams play.
So why did they add these four schools specifically? I mean, there's the other teams in the Mountain West, like UNLV looks more interesting, at least to me, than, say, Colorado State. So why these four specifically, and why not more Mountain West schools? Would they be leaving the door open then for maybe some ACC defections, or how do they backfill?
Yeah, so I think the most surprising part of this for me is it was four, not five. And like I'm in agreement. Like, I think UNLV has a lot to offer. They check all the boxes. It's a place people want to go visit, right? It's a great away game. They've got they play in the NFL stadium. They built a new football facility. Basketball's got real history there. So I think it's becoming more of a sports town as gambling has been legalized, right? So there's a lot like people are embracing that part of like fandom in sports. I was surprised by that, but I also would be surprised if it doesn't happen eventually. I still think you still got to get to eight, and like you said, nine makes a lot of sense. And so UNLV is clearly the most desirable team, you know, in the western part of the country to add. I mean, outside of Cal and Stanford, which that's a whole other story of them in the ACC, which is kind of a non-starter for now. I think eventually UNLV makes its way across as well. I think one thing to keep an eye on, and maybe this is the strategy here, is that it's not a guarantee that they or any other Mountain West teams that come in would come in at the same share, right? Because like what happened today is the Mountain West, you know, was kneecapped, right? Their long-term value is not the same as it was 2 days ago. And so their next media rights deal won't be as good. And so the discrepancy between what the Mountain West has been paying out now and what it will be in the future is not the same, right? We saw that how it worked in the Pac-12, or what it's going to be in the Pac-12, right? Is a big hit. And so now the Pac-12 has some negotiating leverage with adding a school like UNLV, and maybe they decide, look, like, we'd love to have you, UNLV, and you'll be happy to come over for 60% or whatever the number might be, some sort of percentage of the full share, because I think they want to, like, that's just operating from a position of strength, and that's just how college sports works. And I think they'll have to see, like, what other interests they get from schools in the ACC or elsewhere, or you know, kind of get a sense of what the appetite's going to be for other schools to hop in.
That makes total sense that you can play some hardball. And I would also assume that, because every conference has to do this, you have to be careful. The more you split the pie, the more money you have to bring in. And let's be honest, this isn't going to be a huge financial windfall with a TV deal. So I'm guessing that this is a pretty thin margin that they're operating with, negotiating a TV deal and adding more schools where you have to slice the pie.
No, absolutely. And see, I mean, this is a whole new world, right? I think that the addition of streamers changes the game as well, right? Like, it's a very unique spot, one, to regrow a conference like this. With football, we've seen it, you know, with like schools like or conferences like the WAC and some other places, but like in this climate, we haven't seen it done before. So I think it's going to be a pretty instructive process about like how these schools are valued by these companies.
Interesting times. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, guys.
Kyle Bonagura, he is a staff writer at ESPN.
Go Cougs, right?
Yeah, and a Cougs.
Yeah.
You freaking coug. He's pretty optimistic with it.
Yeah.
By the way, for those wondering about Cal and Stanford, we'll get more into that with Brett McMurphy, who's going to join us at 5:15. But it doesn't sound like Cal and Stanford are an option right now.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that, because no one really can predict what's going to happen with the ACC, but once the ACC crumbles, which many think it might.
Sure.
But we just don't know when that, like, the Pac-12 couldn't sit and wait for that.
No. Does that open up the...
Does that then open up the backfill to the...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about Cal and Stanford. I would imagine Cal and Stanford would want to get back out west.
Because remember, like, this all depends on if the ACC were to lose their grant of rights. Because,
exactly.
You know, and for anyone asking about, like, someone brought up, like, Utah, no one's coming back from there. The Big 20, the Big 12 is already 30-plus million, and with more money coming in, you're looking at your TV deal probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million. No one's coming back. So that's you know.
Well, Cal and Stanford could.
Possibly.
If the ACC crumbles and they have nowhere else to go.
Yes.
And they, you know, they get back out west. They're way out east now. That is the way, of all of the conference realignment crap that's happened, Cal and Stanford being in the ACC is one that I still can't wrap my head around.
But this idea of any of the Arizona schools or Utah or certainly, stop.
I don't even know why that was brought up.
Yeah, don't.
So we'll get more into this with Brett McMurphy, 5:15. Dan Lanning pregame show next on The Fan. All right, Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, coming up in moments for his weekly hit each Thursday, brought to you by, got it here somewhere.
Searching.
Unitas Community Credit Union.
Oh, we're united, baby.
U.S. Unitas. But yeah, Oregon State, Washington State, heading over to grab Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State.
Yeah, I was wondering about why only 4-2, and my first thought was the cost, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's $18 million per school, but then I'm like, God, if you wait another year, it's $36 million. But Kyle brought up a really, really good point there of, you know, outside of when USC and UCLA left, they got full shares. But even Oregon and Washington, they are not. They are getting pittance shares from the Big Ten. Cal and Stanford do not get a full share. I think they're only getting like 30% share right now of the ACC, and they're not going to get a full share until the next meteorite deal. Same thing as Oregon and UW. So this happens quite a bit. And when you look at the Mountain West TV deal that for the lower tier schools pays out $3 or $4 million, and realistically, the new Pac-12, let's say it's $10 million. I think that's more a more realistic number than anything in the teens. But let's say it's at $10 million. Why wouldn't you go to UNLV and say, hey, because the new Mountain West TV deal, by the way, that's going to be like $1.5 to $2 million a year, if that. I mean, that thing, the Mountain West today got kneecapped. I mean, they absolutely got destroyed. And I guess you feel bad for them, except, you know, you can't because the Pac-12 has been screwed over so many different times. You go to the UNLVs of the world, maybe New Mexico, Air Force, whoever you want to get, and say, hey, you can have half of $10 million or you can take a full share of 1.5 and come be in the power conference and we're going to give you a half share. And that keeps costs down. Because again, the more you add teams and you have to slice the pie, then you have to go to the TV partner and the TV partner has to be willing to pay out $10 million per school. And I'm not certain if whoever signs that deal is paying out $10 million for New Mexico or Memphis or Tulane or whoever.
What is the ultimate... Well, I guess they have three spots left. If they want to get to nine, what is the ultimate final three to you?
If you could get them,
I mean, realistically,
I think UNLV makes the most sense. Even though UNLV, it's funny, like they're 2-0. UNLV has historically one of the worst college football programs in the country.
Yeah, but they're in Vegas.
But they're in Vegas, and
a lot of upside there,
and they've got some dough. So I would say that that one makes some sense.
Air Force.
I think New Mexico is one that I would go and get.
Why?
Well, again, New Mexico has a much better program than UNLV. They have a good basketball. Again, it's in Albuquerque at least. New Mexico seems to make some sense. If you're not just saying out west, then I think Tulane would probably be where I would go. If I could grab Tulane and then maybe Texas San Antonio, which seems to be on the come up. Some combination of that, I think, is kind of where... I think the best if you could get it.
All right, coming up next, Oregon coach Dan Lanning previews Oregon State. We'll be right back on The Fan.